The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Friday edition, the airing of the grievances. I got my little buddy with me now, Dom. Last night was a terribly good night for the current president. I knew it would be. I knew it would.
How did you know, Michael?
I didn't know it would. But it turned out expectations, man.
It exceeded expectations. Happy Friday, Michael. We made it. Nate, thank you for your work, our fair audience. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates. Thank you for tuning in. I got to tell you, man. I did go to the concert last night. Crawled into bed about midnight with my laptop and watched about the first 30 minutes before I started dozing off. And I caught up with the rest this morning. I thought Joe did a fine job. I thought he exceeded my expectations. And I think some of the stats coming out, independents, 17% bump, believe going from 51 to 68, that Joe Biden is capable to execute the duties of the presidency. I think he put a lot of people, a lot of Dems, certainly at ease, and it's certainly alienated and annoyed a lot of Republicans.
Good.
Mega Mike in the background, man. Come on, get a poker face, dude. Maybe you could learn something from the vice president.
He was like a mean girl back there, rolling his eyes. Oh, he was terribly offended many, many times during the course
many,
of the
many,
president's
many,
speech.
Many times.
I think mission accomplished. Obviously, it's going to be a long campaign, but the general has started. And the fact that these Republicans dragged this into March, dragged this past Super Tuesday, so their guy could win the nomination. And you know what? No one was talking about Donald Trump last night, although Joe did a failed reference to his predecessor a few times.
Lots of predecessor references.
His uncaring, the last guy. And Dom, you know, as one could expect, some drunken Wisconsinite was the first one to pipe up in the middle of the speech and interrupt the president. I assert angry, drunk Derek Van Orden was the one out there yelling, "You lie!" or lies when he said that Trump was uncaring. Oh, no, Trump's known for his warm humanity.
Right. The empathy just oozes out of a guy like Donald Trump. I mean, he's out there, you know, volunteering his time and donating to charities and, you know, taking in lost puppies. Yeah, Donald Trump. Sorry, Van Orden, not the kind of guy that I would attribute any sort of care to. Now, if you're doing his bidding, well, he might care about you then. But as soon as that goes south, you're nothing more than a coffee boy.
That was still early in the speech, and I was proud. Joe plowed through that. And, you know, to hear him tell it on the Fox News, I mentioned this earlier. I appeared with Maggie Dawn and Earl came on and we talked about this with a few of those venues. So if I've been repetitive for a few sticking around for all of it, you know, I apologize.
And we appreciate you listening for all of it.
Oh, yes. 3 hours plus any other appearances on any other show. Always be there for those. Yes, please. So anyways, here are a few of my thoughts. First and foremost, Joe came out fighting mad. And I love that tone. That's like the strongest Joe Biden. That's what I wanted to hear. And, you know, he might not have won any Academy Awards like that girl that did the Republican response was trying for. I mean, at least she was trying to win the middle school forensics meet. She was over trying, Dom. We've heard a few in broadcast do that.
A little over dramatic, I would say.
we've got some sound. I don't know if Aaron left it in the Dropbox for you. Take a look. The Senator Britt from Alabama, she was something else. But I watched with my wife, the lovely Mrs. Crudy, and she had encouraged me to flip it over to Fox News because I was listening to Maggie Dawn's coverage on Civic Media with Stuart Waddell. And then I was watching the MSNBC pregame show. And then the speech started. My wife said, well, put it on Fox. I want to hear what they say. So coming out of the speech, we heard the Fox commentary. And Britt Hume came out and basically said, Joe Biden's a senile old man. And I'm thinking to myself, nobody believes that, Britt. No one that just saw that speech believes that.
Britt Hume is 80 years old himself, turning 81 in June.
He's a senile old man. He always looked like Droopy Dog to me to begin with. He had those jowls. The other thing that was unbelievable about the night's occurrences, other than the Derek Van Orden, because I believe he was an angry drunk, and that was in part why he was,
sure that was
yelling.
Unbelievable? I mean, it was certainly believable. We talked about it yesterday, of course.
He's done it many times before. We actually nominated him, and you know, true to form, the offer my wife a drink at 10 o'clock in the morning, Derek Van Orden. Well, he was the first one to outburst during the president's speech. But what were my points here? A, Britt Hume, completely unbelievable. I mean, anyone that saw that speech knows that Joe was on his game. And later in the speech, I do think during the course of just heckling the man, and I didn't do the over-under. I know your over-under were 13 Republicans that would interrupt the president's speech. Well, he blew through it early when Derek Van Orden did it, but later in the speech, Marjorie Taylor Greene did get his attention by yelling, by caterwauling during the course of his speech, and eventually he had to acknowledge her, and he misspoke, Dom. He said Lincoln Riley, not Lakin Riley, this young Georgia woman that had died at the hands of an immigrant. And I know that Joe used the term illegal, and I know that offset a few of the Democrats, but it also made every Republican a freaking liar. He'll never say her name. I mean, they're all wearing T-shirts, right? Ron Johnson's tweeting out pictures of himself with, Lakin Riley's name, say her name in his pocket. Well, Joe Biden did that. But Joe Biden also called out the January 6th insurrectionists to their faces, man, because a lot of them were in the chamber. And Trump was certainly home watching Truthy Social in last night. I mean, talk about it. Underwhelming response.
I heard he had some technical issues with the Truthy Social last night.
I heard it dumped last night. And you know what? Earlier in the extended coverage, I don't know if you've noticed, Devil's Advocate's now doing a 3 o'clock hour. And CJ called in early, and we were talking about the outcome of the speech. And he was very butthurt that Joe was not a unifier. I said, you know, when's the last time your guy was a unifier, right? What was Trump's whole take on it? F your feelings? Now Joe Biden's supposed to be all bad for Republicans because they don't want to cross the aisle with him? They don't want to tango because it takes two to tango, right? So just so we're clear, Dom, I banned CJ for another 30 days because he deserved it. And I just stumped him from the line again. I don't want him wasting our precious nickels listening to the show.
Well,
on the toll-free line.
I can understand how those who would be mega supportive would be uncomfortable with the current president calling you out to your face, calling you out for your submission, your bowing to a guy like Vladimir Putin from Russia, for wanting to pull out of NATO. You know, these are Republicans used to be all about that, right? Now they're all about what? What, the strong man, Donald Trump. And if Donald Trump likes Putin, then we like Putin. But I did also hear, I will always be the president of everybody. Send me a bipartisan border bill. Sign this, you know, get this bill to me. There was a lot of that. There was a lot of that. Man, Joe's an empathetic guy. He understands that. But don't expect that just because he's up there and addressing the nation that he's going to capitulate to your whims. Oh, he was too partisan. Yeah, look. What have you megas been doing, man? You guys ransacked the Capitol. You try to, you know, deny it all, blow past it. It's just, it's so disingenuous for someone like CJ or Marjorie Taylor Greene or Congressman Van Orden to lament the fact that, oh my goodness, he's not being bipartisan enough. Are you kidding me? How about inviting him? How about accepting the offers, like a bipartisan bill? I mean, there are ways to address and bring people together, but as long as your orange Jesus decides he doesn't want to do it and you're going to do his bidding, that will never, ever happen.
Well, Dom, there was one round of bipartisan unity last night after the State of the Union response. Katie Britt was panned by really everyone, except former President Donald Trump. Said she did great. And that has led to something of a revolt against the old man. The Trump supportive, they don't believe him. They saw with their own eyes her breathlessly weird State of the Union response. Dom, coverage says, after Donald Trump praised the State of the Union Republican Party response given by Senator Katie Britt, he may be alone in his opinion that she was great, and his fans on Truthy Social pitching a fit about the kitchen talk that one GOP operative admitted was one of our biggest disasters ever. Yeah, ever. I agree. And while X was flooded with comments, many comparing her deeply weird speech to a Saturday Night Live skit, the former president seemed to be impressed. On Truthy Social, he wrote, again, this is Trump, Katie Britt was great, contrast to an angry and obviously very disturbed president. And he threw quotes on president. She was compassionate and caring, especially concerning women and women's issues. Her conversation on migrant crime was powerful and insightful. Great job, Katie. Great job, Katie. Supporters of the former president, who responded to his post, could not have disagreed more, with one writing, totally disagree. Didn't need a bedtime story. We should have called out the lies, explained the BS bills, and hit hard that the border could have been closed by executive order. Republican rebuttal sucked. And this is what Republicans had to say. Down a little bit more. It was actually pretty embarrassing. Her speech was okay, but her delivery, it was terrible. One more Truthy Social commenter, Maddie Fox, fired back at Trump, writing, I thought she was horrible. The effect was terrible. She sounded phony and insincere. Didn't know whether she was laughing or crying about the inflation, the border. It was a ridiculous response. The Republicans will never learn. I thought it was a great night for the president. Less so for Senator Katie Britt, her shining moment. She crashed and burned like a Led Zeppelin.
Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. Come back with us. Happy Friday. Air the grievances. We're going to play some of the sound from last night and get your take on it. 844-967-2789.
The Devil's Advocates. Rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world.
We're back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Join us on the lines, 844-967-2789. Happy International Women's Day today. And also, 10-year anniversary for my wife, Stephanie. Her business, 10 years old today. Well done, Stephanie. Super proud of you. And reflecting on the speech given last night, I guess the rebuttal speech from Senator Britt, when I was watching it, I was thinking, oh my God, this is terrible. But then I had to, you know, check my manhood. Maybe this is a woman who's saying things.
You misogynist. Really? How dare you think that of a woman?
I wanted to take a step back and, okay, don't be overly critical. And then by the time I got through that, you got to be kidding me. And then thankfully, like all the women, mega women, GOP women, independent women, the women on The View, they were all just aghast at this. And for the Republicans, for Mega to put, you know, her in a kitchen where she belongs. I couldn't tell. Was she barefoot? I wasn't clear, but I thought it was awful. I thought it was over dramatic. And if that's how she is, did the pressure get to her? Was she coached in this way? Did someone say, hey, do it like that? Because that was atrocious. I couldn't even get to her points. It was really hard to even follow the logic because she was in one minute smiling and happy, and the next minute, you know, almost in tears and then back to smiling and happy. It was, it seemed a little crazy, but thankfully it's not me. It wasn't me. It wasn't my misogyny. It was just a terrible delivery.
Mrs. Crudy got up during her speech about 3 minutes into the Republican response and walked out of the room, said, "I've heard enough." Was really offended by the delivery. And I don't think it was just the style. I also think it was the content. I mean, she was talking about some brutal topics, was she not? There with the false, smiley, emotional, breathless voice thing she had going on. She should star in the next horror film, Smile. She would pull that off, Don.
Carrie Part 3? I don't know, man.
She had me clutching my pearls a little. She made me nervous for the future of our country, Dom. But what they did not do...
Yeah, hey, don't worry, she's only a senator. We got Senator Ron Johnson, so, you know, what do we expect?
But they didn't feature her as a lawyer or a senator or a former press secretary, which I find very hard to believe. She used to be a press secretary? Are you freaking kidding me? She got paid to do that sort of work? But what they didn't do is they didn't have her talk about her accomplishments in any way, shape, or form. Her greatest accomplishment? Motherhood, of course. Being God's vessel to birth children. And, you know, God bless her if that's what her desire is in life. But the reason she would qualify to give the Republican response is because she's one of the youngest elected U.S. senators in history. And she's a lawyer. And presumably she's got a record of accomplishment. Presumably. I mean, she's not Tommy Tuberville. Her claim to fame wasn't that she coached the Auburn football team prior. That's the other senator from Alabama. This is supposed to be the smart one. 844-967-2789. It's Friday. We air the grievances. I had no problem with Joe's speech. I thought it was sufficiently cantankerous. I loved it. I was all down. I saved the cocktails for the very end. I didn't even drink during the Badger game. I was saving my sobriety. You know, unlike apparently Derek Van Orden, I think he must have been day drinking because he's an angry drunk. He's the one that interrupted first. But anyways, I interrupt going to the phones. 844-967-2789. Celebratory cocktails only for me last night, Kurt. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Kurt.
Hi, guys. Well, frankly, Miss Britt, I don't give a damn. I swear she was auditioning for Miss Scarlet and Gone with the Wind. It took every fiber of my being to make it through her entire performance. It was pathetic. Dom, everything you and I'm sorry, Crute, mostly Crute, everything you said identifying what she should have identified herself as was grossly missing. And the only other thing I wish in the speech that would have happened when the president went to the podium and he went to talk about the border, I wish he would have turned around and looked straight at Johnson and say, "So are you going to bring that bill to the floor?"
Right. Do a little reference over the shoulder. This guy here.
That's the only thing I wish he would have done.
Kurt, did you cocktail last night? And if so, what was your trigger word?
You know what? I didn't have a specific trigger word. I was just looking for the moral absurdities. And then I had, in reference to Tom, I had tequila. Sips of tequila. Yeah. It's like, okay, well done. Another one. I need another one.
Well, after Katie Britt's response, got out the beer bong at our house and just started chugging. 844-967-2789. That may or may not be true. Bob from Madison. Welcome, Bob. What do you got for us?
Hey, Bob.
Okay, I'm thinking Gaza and Biden gets a bum rap. If you look at the casualties in the first month and a half, is about 500 a day. Since then, it's about 90 a day. And what happened in that late November? That's when Biden was pushing for avoiding civilian casualties, pushing really hard and steadily on Netanyahu, and Netanyahu announced that they were changing their procedures somewhat.
And Bob, so last night, the president announced that there would be a humanitarian pier, hopefully providing an entry point for aid to Gaza. Do you think that's a step in the right direction?
Oh, yeah. You know, and if you don't do something about it, you know, if you get the Jews mad at you, you can lose New York and Florida. But you get the Palestinians mad at you, you can lose Michigan and Minnesota. So I think it's very serious that he has to set the record straight that he has bent over backwards for a two-state solution to solve the problem once and for all. And this aid coming in is a great idea. They got to get to Rafah, the people out of Rafah before the invasion, if they can somehow. But where do they put them? Put them in North? I suppose.
Bob, appreciate your call. I did like that the president last night, Joe Biden, in his State of the Union, he did lead somewhat with foreign policy. And part of his calling out of the Republicans was what they're standing with Putin effectively. If you think Putin's going to stop at the Ukraine, you're wrong, is what the president effectively told the Republicans in the chamber last night. Now, some of them snuck out mid-speech. Now, I don't know if you know that, but that was part of their effort. They got up and left some empty chairs. You know, very mature. Leave mid-speech. I know you did that at Trump's inauguration. First Ranger. We got to go.
We got to go. F that guy, man.
Well, I think that was, in some way, shape, or form, an underlying sentiment of Joe Biden's speech last night. F that guy. The former, right? The former president.
My predecessor.
My predecessor. No one doubted who he meant. Come back with us. Join us on the phones. It's Friday. We air the grievances. Yours could be next. 844-967-2789.
The big and tall of political talk, the devil's advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition. Our favorite. Made it to the weekend. Damn near. We'll get you home safe.
Getting there.
Off to your Friday fish fry, your happy hour, and we'll get you there.
Roll the coin!
844-967-2789. Dom, you've got the rundown. Before we get back to the phones, let's play a little of the president's speech. I thought he was outstanding last night. Maybe I'm the only one that feels that way, but I cannot be. I thought he outperformed all the low expectations of the Fox News.
Low expectations doesn't necessarily mean outstanding. I thought he did a fine job. There were some misspeaks and so forth, but listen, anybody on that stage in that role doing that thing is prone to that. There's certainly a lot of pressure. I'm not going to judge a man entirely on misspoken words here or there. We've been known to do that occasionally on this show.
We have.
Or perhaps get more prep time.
Is that the royal we? I've never misspoken.
No, of course not. Never,
I just
never.
Make up my own words when necessary. Very Trump-like in that regard. Let's hear from the president, though, Dom.
All right, let's do it. Thank you, Nate, doing all the hard work today. Start at the top. Biden, State of the Union last night, not since Lincoln. Cut. Uno, number one, please.
Not since President Lincoln and the Civil War have freedom and democracy been under assault at home as they are today. What makes our moment rare is that freedom and democracy are under attack at both at home and overseas.
Ooh, you can, I mean, this is right off the bat, man. You know the Republicans, the megas are going nuts. Let's keep going. Cut number two, please. Putin.
Overseas, Putin of Russia is on the march, invading Ukraine and sowing chaos throughout Europe and beyond. If anybody in this room thinks Putin will stop at Ukraine, I assure you he will not.
He will not. And he's speaking to the Republicans that will not fund ongoing Ukrainian aid. You want a broader war? Keep it up, fellas.
Stand with Ukraine, President Biden last night. Cut three, please, Nate.
Ukraine can stop Putin if we stand with Ukraine.
And number four, Trump and Putin. What do you want?
Now my predecessor, a former Republican president, tells Putin, quote, do whatever the hell you want. That's a quote. A former president actually said that, bowing down to a Russian leader. I think it's outrageous, it's dangerous, and it's unacceptable.
Thank you, President Biden. It is absolutely outrageous and unacceptable. We saw it in Helsinki. We continue to see former President Trump engage with the authoritarian types. Orban from Hungary is in Mar-a-Lago today, right? We got the president talking about how fragile democracy is and how important it is for everyone to stand up. You know, on all you electeds, you took the oath to support the Constitution, right? To defend this country from all threats, foreign and domestic. Yet they embrace this authoritarian move. And I loved it. And he brought up that the fact that he would not bow. We will not bow. I will not bow. Certainly making a distinction between his philosophy and his predecessors.
I don't know why he would, though.
Right. He apparently has a message to Putin. Let's hear cut number six, if you would please, Nate.
Give him a sec.
Thanks, Nate.
My message to President Putin, who I've known for a long time, is simple. We will not walk away.
We will not walk away.
I don't know that most of the Republicans applauded that applause line. A lot of them struggled to find their clappers.
844-967-2789. We have lots and lots of more, but let's get some thoughts.
One other esteemed guest on the floor, my understanding, George Santos in attendance at the big State of the Union.
What, man?
He had honorary congressional privileges. He had the right to be on the floor as a former congressman. He retains that right.
Did he get permission from his parole officer?
He did.
How does that work out?
My understanding is he announced he would be running for Congress again in a new district.
Good luck with that. 844-967.
The cameo were quite lucrative. You don't know.
Let's get on the horn. Matt from Middleton, happy Friday to you. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates. What do you got for us?
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Devils. I think the president did a good job last night, but it's a very, very fraught time. Understanding that the MAGA is full of people who are kind of already in the state of a Civil War kind of mindset. They're very angry and grieved, and I think that's because of decades of Republican politicians giving them promises, a lot of anger. I'm actually rather anxious about this moment in history because I know history, and Biden had a very hard job there to not anger the Republicans, but at the same time, kind of lay out the threats we face within the Republican Party. Because if I were up there, it'd be hard not to mention a lot of history and call out the extremism and what's happened to the party.
Matt, do you think the president was concerned about angering Republicans? Because that was not my impression. I think he basically said the truth and let the chips fall.
No, I think he had to control himself is rather what I'm saying. Like, I think he had to call out how bad they are, but not do it to a point where, you know, you then can't get anything done once he wins, or you cause some violence or more violence in 24. You know what I mean? Like, he had to be like, because if I were up there, yeah, you call out all the extremism, all the things that they want to do to change the country, the Project 2025 plan they have, putting women back in the homes, like all these extreme things. You can't necessarily just say all that because you have to kind of appeal to some of these conservatives that are kind of on the fence. So I think he did a good job last night of being angry, but not exactly calling out everything that's so terrible. Like, you have to, he gave us some hope there too.
Yeah. Matt, you make a good point. Thanks for your observations. I think the Republican response, the young senator from Alabama, I think she's the one putting the women back in the kitchens, Dom. That's apparently where they wanted this senator, you know, representing as a mom and a wife, not as a intelligent woman with a law degree who'd been elected to the U.S. Senate, because I thought that was the reason they gave her the whole speaking spot, Dom. You know, the Senate title, not, you know, mom. Mom doesn't get you a response role at the State of the Union, or my wife could have done that.
Thank you for the call, Matt. A couple of points. I do think he thread the needle about as good as he could, given the circumstances. You know, the anger, and I think President Biden brought this up during his speech. The anger that a lot of the Republicans have is based on a lie. You know what I mean? I get it. I would, if I thought that my vote was, you know, thrown out, if there are some shenanigans going on that would deny me my constitutional right, I would be angry. And I am angry because we talk about the false elector thing, right? We talked about this, the January 6th insurrection. These are all efforts by the Republicans to do the very same thing that they claim to be angry about. Whoa, stop the steal, right? Well, there was no steal. There was only a plot to try to gum up the works that originated here, apparently in the state of Wisconsin. So you're welcome, nation. So I do appreciate that angst, because we're going through it right now with the fake elector thing, and we're going through it right now as we continue to deal with the seemingly lack of accountability for those higher up in the conspiracy. So those things are absolutely real. Now, whether or not that the Republicans have made promises that they can't deliver, you know, that's the political world, man. There's a lot of Democrats out there and a lot of progressives out there that are not getting or do not want get the things that we all want. No one gets everything they want. So I'm less concerned about that part than I am about the fact that the angst from the MAGAs are based on a lie derived from former President Trump himself.
The best line I felt like of Joe Biden's State of the Union speech last night is, you can't only be proud to be an American when you win.
Yeah. 844. And love your country only when you win.
844-967-2789. I'm sure we'll bring you more of Joe Biden's speech. It was excellent, to my opinion, but more of your opinions. 844-967-2789. Jim from Milwaukee. Welcome, Jim.
Hello, Jim.
Good afternoon. Yeah, I think the president was professionally assertive and bold. When I heard him go after the Supreme Court, and then one of his first remarks, I knew we better buckle up, and he kept it going all night. I think it was really good, smart to quote Trump, because no matter what he says, they want to say, no, that isn't right, it's not true, whatever. Well, you're quoting the man. If we can listen to what he said. And one more thing is that I think I know some young people, and I think they get most of their news from late night comedians and Facebook bloopers. And I challenge some of them. This is the first to watch Joe Biden for the first time give an actual speech, and they were very happy with what they saw. It wasn't their perspective of Joe Biden at all. So I give him an A+, and the fight begins, and we all got to take part in making sure he wins.
Well said, Jim. My 17-year-old sat down on the couch last night and watched a good portion of Joe's speech last night. I said, how does it compare to others you've seen? He's like, Dad, the last one I remember, I was a kid and it was Obama. Apparently, we didn't make a big deal when the Trump State of the Unions were on at the household. No. He didn't recall any of those.
844-967-2789. To Jim's point.
You interrupt like a Derek Van Orden, but go ahead.
I paused, man. What are you talking about? You get no time to breathe on the devil's advocate. You know that. When President Biden addressed the Supreme Court talking about Roe v. Wade, and I love the point he made that, you know, women have political electoral power, and you're going to find that out soon. And then he, you know, pointed out that the elections that have been won in 2022, and we're going to win again in 2024. I thought that was very, very on point. 844-967-2789.
Tommy Tupperville, the aforementioned former head football coach at Auburn University, now the Republican senator from Alabama, the one that didn't give the response speech, in response to his colleague, the Katie Britt, that gave this speech last night. Well, Dom, here is his support for her. Tommy Tupperville said he did not have concerns that his fellow colleague, Senator Katie Britt from Alabama, delivered her unnatural State of the Union rebuttal in the kitchen since she was, and this is what he said, she was picked as a housewife, not just a senator. It's all part of the plan, Dom. They wanted to feature the best housewife in there.
I get it. I think I think a lot of people got it. That's why there's a lot of folks that are shaking their head, even within the conservative and MAGA movement.
Here is a little bit more. Somebody who sees it from a different perspective, you know, education, family, all those things. I mean, she did what she was asked to do. Tupperville told the Huffington Post on Friday, I thought she did a good job, and it's hard when you've never done anything like that. And probably will not be asked to do anything like that again. Tupperville added that not everybody's going to be pleased with the performance. I thought the delivery was good. That's where you lose me, Tommy. I thought it was god-awful, but I continue. People were going to make fun of anybody. Some people like it. Some people don't. Well, there you have it, Dom. Some people like crazy, and some people don't.
Way to lay that wisdom down on us, Tupperville. Is that what you said in the locker room? And again, to another point, I want to point out the critics. Ignore the critics. People in your life, in your workplace, everyone's a critic. Hell, on the radio, everybody's a critic. No matter what Joe Biden did, they're going to say he's something else. You know, we can't have Bernie Sanders. They're going to say he's a socialist. Well, what do they do to Joe Biden? Oh, he's a socialist. They're going to do that. The criticism will be there regardless. Either he's sleepy Joe or he's over-caffeinated Joe. You know, there's not going to be any compliment coming out of Sean Hannity, no matter what Joe Biden does. So don't worry about the critics. Just do your thing.
Do you have the same advice to Katie Britt? Because here's what former actor, he was bad, Tom Arnold. I think he's in the weed industry now. Here's what he put on Twitter last night. Katie Britt is so bad, she couldn't be in one of my movies. More Devil's Advocates, more of your grievances. 844-96-PARTY.
You can't always get
charged, what you want. Never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want, but if you try sometimes, well, you might find you get what you need.
Ah. Listening to the Devil's Advocate Radio Show, exactly what you need, and we need you to call us at 844-967-2789. It's Friday, airing the grievances, talking about Joe Biden, President Biden, State of the Union address last night. I got some sound I want to get to. Kurt, you got any thoughts right now?
Well, only that if we played Tiny Dancer like six times, along with You Can't Always Get What You Want about six more times, I'd feel like we're listening to the soundtrack at a Trump rally.
He did kill those songs, man. Oh my God. Like six or seven songs over and over and over. And what the decibels? Like
95, so 95 decibels.
It was awful. I downloaded the Decibel app on my phone while we were there because he trapped us in there.
Mosinee, Wisconsin,
was the worst one of all of them. And there were several where they were very loud. Well, the president gets, former president Trump at the time, gets done speaking. They take off, and you know, no one can really leave until the president's out. So we're trapped in this airplane hangar essentially, and they're just blasting the music to. And I'm a rocker, man. I got bad ears as it is, and it was bad to me. But thankfully he didn't quite kill that song like Rush Limbaugh did to that Pretender song. But it's hard to not think of the Trump when you hear that song. So thank you, Rolling Stones. 844-967-2789. I want to get to a couple more of the cuts, then your calls. Nate, thank you for your work today. We're going to jump around to cut number 21 when President Biden references January 6th, if you would, please.
My predecessor and some of you here seek to bury the truth about January 6th. I will not do that. This is the moment to speak the truth and to bury the lies. Here's the simple truth. You can't love your country only when you win.
I love that line. That was my favorite line he delivered the entire evening.
And so spot on and so true. And watching Mega Mike, the speaker, over his shoulder and his eyebrows and his slouching and his smirking. I mean, what a interesting character.
Dom, we've got the first viewership numbers. The overnight ratings are out on the State of the Union address.
I know you love the numbers. Crudy, what do we got?
32 million people watched Biden's State of the Union address last night. That is a significant number. That is up about 20% from the prior year. People wanted to see Joe Biden. Joe Biden delivered last night. Kick ass, Joe. Kicking ass and taking names. And he's all out of bubble gum. I forget how that goes.
I come here to kick ass and chew bubble gum, and I'm all out of bubble gum. A few more from the speech last night. Abortion. Let's go to the next one, please, Nate. Cut number 22.
And with all due respect, justices, women are not without electoral power. Electoral or political power. You're about to realize just how much you were right about that.
And give him a Democratic Congress, and he will codify Roe v. Wade. Cut number 23.
Those bragging about overturning Roe v. Wade have no clue about the power of women. But they found out when reproductive freedom was on the ballot, we won in 2022 and 2020, and we'll win again in 2024.
Well, yeah, let's jump down to cut number 25, also regarding Roe v. Wade.
Send me a Congress that supports the right to choose. I promise you, I'll restore Roe v. Wade as the law of the land again.
And that's, again, going to continue to be a major issue in this election cycle. 844-967-2789. Let's get some of your thoughts. Dick from Madison, you're up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dick.
Hey, guys.
I assume you watched the big speech last night or listened on the Civic Media Network.
I watched as much and right up till the Badger game. I don't have any idea what Marjorie Taylor Greene was trying to convey to him, but the next big hurdle that he's supposedly going to be against, I'm talking about the president, is whether we debate this man or not. And I said this morning, come on. Come on, man, as Joe would say. First of all, no, seriously, this guy is such a joke, and debating him would be, here's what I would put one caveat on if I was the Biden people. If you're not behind 3 inches of plexiglass in prison, I'll debate you.
Well, a little harder. You can always go there and, you know, pick up the phone and, you know, talk through the glass.
Yeah, Nick. I don't want to be talking back and forth by a phone. Okay.
Didn't Johnny Cash do like a prison concert once? Couldn't Joe go debate him in prison down at Folsom?
Well, yeah, but I, you know what I'm saying? This is a possibility, and I just don't think that really elevates the country too much to have that kind of a debate. Or the only other way I would do it is a fact checker is there, and they just immediately and put deaden his mic the minute he starts spewing his idiocy.
Dick, they're never going to, Trump would never allow a real-time fact checker. I do like the idea that, you know, you basically make it about the other guy. Like, you know, I'd love to debate Trump, but I cannot appear in public with an alleged felon, 91 charges against the guy. I mean, I don't want to wreck my political career by appearing on the same stage with this guy. There'd be plenty of reasons why.
Well, you don't want to debate the rapist? You know what I mean? I mean, it could get real ugly real quick, as well it should. I mean, Donald Trump's going to spend, 6 weeks, maybe at least, in jail starting March 25th, the same day he's got to come up with the other $450 million. You know, good luck trying to get that in the calendar.
Were you surprised that Trump actually made the first bond from some company no one had heard of? The $91 million bond so he could appeal the E. Jean Carroll. And apparently, and former U.S. Attorney James Santel brought this to our attention via text, like the Federal Insurance Agency issued this. Only that's a private corporation. I was unclear how that worked out.
So related to that, the Chubb insurance company somehow, some way.
The Chubb insurance company that had the insurance on the Mar-a-Lago, or pardon me, on the Trump Tower condo.
The Trump Tower, alleged,
was 10,000 square feet, but it was, no, he alleged it was 30,000, and it was less than 11,000. And Chubb actually sent an appraiser to the house, and guess who gave him the tour? Trump.
Trump. Couldn't see the bedroom, though.
Melania.
She was sleepy.
She's taking a nap. That day. She always naps at this time of the day with the cabana boy.
Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. Happy Friday to us all. Callers, be patient. Stick around through the top. We will continue the greatest radio show ever. 844-96-PARTY.